You're listening to special coverage of Decision 2016, the Republican primary debate between Representative Virgil Peck of Havana and Dan Goddard of Parsons on the Mighty 690 KGGF Coffeeville. We're pleased you could join us. The staff and management of KGGF Radio wants to express their appreciation to Monty Kaufman and Windsor Place for allowing for the use of the Windsor Event Center for this occasion. We also appreciate the support of our sponsors who are making this hour-long broadcast possible. Acme Foundry, Coffeeville Regional Medical Center, Community National Bank, Four State Maintenance Supply, Muller Construction, and Taylor Crane and Rigging. This year's primary is Tuesday, August 2nd. Your vote will help decide which of the candidates will advance to the November general election. It is the people that you and your fellow Kansans elect that will decide issues such as school funding, enact laws that are firm enough to protect you, but not so tight they limit your freedom. Raise the tax dollars to accomplish the essential duties of government without collecting 1 cent more than the state should to do the job. That's how important the decisions you make next month at the ballot box will be. Every vote is important. If you're eligible to vote in the primary, please cast your ballot and ask others to do the same. If you're not already registered, the last day to register for the November general election is October 18th. Set a reminder and register at your earliest opportunity. Then stay tuned to the Mighty 690 KGGF Coffeeville. This is a presentation of KGGF News.
Back on funds that support the college and university system. I have a student or a son who is a student at Kansas State University. He's a senior. He's a really smart kid. He's majoring in computer science and software engineering, and he has an offer for a fellowship after he graduates next spring. However, every time I dig into my pocket to pay a tuition bill, it hurts more. And students should not have to mortgage their financial future to pay off high student loan debt. And parents should not have to mortgage their assets to pay off their children's high student loans. I think that education is the most important thing that we do. The young people of this state are the future of this state. And the better education system that we have, the better off we're going to be in the future. As far as funding goes, I am a little bit confused. You know, the local school districts collect property taxes. Those property taxes go to the state of Kansas, and they turn around and send it back to the school districts and count it as state aid to education. I think if we left that money in local school districts, we'd have a more realistic view of what the state is really forking over. My opponent has said the property taxes are local and they should stay local. I agree that property taxes are way too high. I pay my property taxes, you do, and every time you do, it hurts. And I am done. Thank you.
This is special coverage from the Mighty 690 KGGF Decision 2016, the Senate District 15 Republican primary. We'll take a brief time out and continue after this. You're listening to special coverage of Decision 2016, the Republican primary debate between Representative Virgil Peck of Havana and Dan Goddard of Parsons on the Mighty 690 KGGF Coffeeville. We're pleased you could join us. The staff and management of KGGF Radio wants to express their appreciation to Monty Kaufman and Windsor Place for allowing for the use of the Windsor Event Center for this occasion. We also appreciate the support of our sponsors who are making this hour-long broadcast possible. Acme Foundry, Coffeeville Regional Medical Center, Community National Bank, Four State Maintenance Supply, Muller Construction, and Taylor Crane and Rigging. This year's primary is Tuesday, August 2nd. Your vote will help decide which of the candidates will advance to the November general election. It is the people that you and your fellow Kansans elect that will decide issues such as school funding, enact laws that are firm enough to protect you, but not so tight they limit your freedom. Raise the tax dollars to accomplish the essential duties of government without collecting 1 cent more than the state should to do the job. That's how important the decisions you make next month at the ballot box will be. Every vote is important. If you're eligible to vote in the primary, please cast your ballot and ask others to do the same. If you're not already registered, the last day to register for the November general election is October 18th. Set a reminder and register at your earliest opportunity. Then stay tuned to the Mighty 690 KGGF Coffeeville. This is a presentation of KGGF News.
This is continuing special coverage from KGGF News. As our Senate District 15 Republican primary debate continues, we move into the arena of health care with a couple of questions. First, we start with a general question on health care overall, and then we'll narrow our scope. Hospitals across the state are struggling. A recent Kansas Hospital Association report found 30 hospitals to be vulnerable for closure right now. Independence has already lost its hospital. What can be done to help support health care for our communities, recruit medical providers, and make sure hospitals do not continue to close? Mr. Goddard, you get to answer this one first. So the floor is yours for 3 minutes.
Thank you. We all agree that health care is a critical issue for the United States of America and Kansas, and Southeast Kansas in particular. All of our people, young people, and particularly our aging population, because if you look at the demographics, we have an aging population, and they must have local access to quality health care. The closure of the Independence Hospital hurt the region. Okay, there's a void up there, and it will have to be filled by Coffeyville, Chanute to a certain extent, and Parsons. We have the three hospitals remaining in the area. I believe we should have quality health care for Kansans by Kansas health care professionals. That will give people the confidence to go to our health care facilities, but it will also aid the economy of the state. Health care employs a tremendous number of people. And with the reduction in the Medicaid reimbursement, I fear that people are going to have hours reduced. There may be reductions in employment. And just possibly the quality of health care would decline. I know that our local hospitals do not want to see and will do everything they can to maintain excellent quality health care. But I think that the Medicaid reduction is one of those things that really hurts. As an example, the Independence Hospital lost out or would have lost out on over $1 million of funding. Now, they may not have been able to make it anyway, but that may have delayed the possibility of the closure and given them a breathing space to do things in order to keep it open and keep it operating. As far as being local, to have an out-of-state facility provide care under rules that don't apply to our local facilities, I don't think is right. If they don't have to provide emergency room care, which is a losing proposition to our local hospitals, and only provide care without emergency room services, and they're out-of-state, they are skimming dollars away from this community, our Southeast Kansas region, and they are taking those dollars out of state. I don't think we should allow that to happen. I get my health care through the VA as a veteran. I think I only have about 15 seconds. I'll come back to that later, and we can discuss veteran health care at another time. Thank you.
Representative Peck again, how can we support health care for our communities, recruit medical providers, and prevent further closures of medical facilities?
Deborah, when Mercy Hospital closed in Independence, that was a blow to me and to my family. I had been in Mercy Hospital and had had knee surgery there. I've got two grandchildren that were born in Mercy Hospital in Independence. So I know about Mercy Hospital, and I also understand that there are a myriad of reasons as to why that happened. We cannot discount the fact that Mercy decided to spend a significant, as in $1 billion, for building a new hospital in Joplin following the tornado. After that, it seems as though they lost a little bit of interest in Kansas. We cannot deny the fact that Obamacare has not been good for rural health care in America, and we are in rural America. The Obamacare legislation, we all remember how that passed. It was shoved through by the Democrats. Harry Reid broke the Senate rules after Senator Ted Kennedy passed away, and the citizens of Massachusetts decided they didn't want Obamacare. They sent Senator Scott Brown there, a Republican, so that they thought they would assure that health care in America would not be what it is today through Obamacare. Obamacare reduced the reimbursement rate for Medicare and for Medicaid, but particularly for Medicare, thereby reducing the health benefits to our senior citizens, making it more difficult for hospitals to survive. Now, as far as the question, I'm running out of time, but there are incentives that we can provide as a state for our newly graduates from a medical school to practice in our rural areas by paying back some of their loans, for example. We can incentivize more use of telemedicine. We've got a gentleman in the audience here who has done a great job at being at the forefront of telemedicine in the state of Kansas, and we need to tap into expertise such as his. I joined Representative Kelly this last year as he took the lead and pushed for legislation that made it easier for healthcare providers to operate in the state of Kansas. There are no easy answers to healthcare. We don't know what's going to happen in November as it relates to who's going to be in the White House, as it relates to who's going to be in the federal legislature. We don't know for certain, of course, who's going to be in the Kansas legislature. But things that we can do, should do, are to think outside the box, provide incentives for medical providers, make certain that the hospitals we have don't have undue regulations and difficulties placed upon them, and we also should not remove the exemption that our nonprofit hospitals have from Kansas taxes, just to name a few. Thank you.
There was a forum earlier this week in Independence. It focused on the expansion of CanCare, the state's Medicaid program. Kansas is one of 19 states that has opted not to expand the Medicaid program. Of those 19 states that have not, some are now actually reconsidering and discussing the matter, including lawmakers in Oklahoma. Mr. Peck, why have lawmakers and the governor opposed the expansion for Kansas, and should that be something they reconsider?
Deborah, you mentioned in your question that some states that have not expanded Obamacare, which is expansion of Medicaid, are reconsidering their decision. I will make certain that everyone understands there are states that have expanded Obamacare who are reconsidering their decision. Their budgets have been hit dramatically with increased costs, with overruns, with a whole lot more, with a significantly higher number of individuals being placed on the government health care system. Whenever we talk about Medicaid expansion, we need to make sure that we're careful and point out that there are two different programs that government provides health care for Americans. Medicare, which is for senior citizens, and that is a program that is funded by all of us through a payroll deduction. We have all contributed to Medicare funding. Medicaid has no such direct revenue source. Medicaid in Kansas, if we were to expand it, not only would we remove the incentive for some individuals to improve themselves, because they know if they reach a certain income level, they will no longer receive their, quote, government benefits, end quote. It would also cost the state budget around $100 million a year. Now, there are those who are saying that, oh, there's a proposal out there that's revenue neutral. Folks, there's nothing free. There's nothing revenue neutral. I have seen no plan put forth that would make a difference in why we should expand Medicaid. Now, the federal government has said that, well, you expand Medicaid, you expand Obamacare, we're going to pay for it. Ladies and gentlemen, the federal government's broke. Over 40 cents of every dollar they're spending is borrowed money. Should we be on the side of trying to make America better and reducing debt? Or should we be on the side of taking more what's called federal dollars, but we all know that it's taxpayer dollars, and drive up the deficit? Do we not care about future generations of Americans? Is it about us now rather than our children in the future. Expanding Obamacare in the state of Kansas would have a detrimental impact on the state budget. It would have a detrimental impact in many other areas. Sure, it would bring in some money to some medical providers, and that's the bad part, that's the sad part, that we don't have that ability to do it. But we wouldn't even be using those two words, Medicaid expansion, had it not been for Obamacare passing. And I just enumerated briefly previously on how Obamacare passed in the state of Kansas, so I won't go over that again. But I have not seen a plan that I could support. I will end with this. If I am convinced that the majority of citizens in Senate District 15 support expansion of Medicaid, I would go with my citizens, with my voters.
Mr. Goddard, what is your position on expansion of CanCare?
Number one, we need to start the conversation. Any discussion on expansion of Medicaid and CanCare has been shut off in the state legislature. They aren't even allowed to bring it up for discussion. And what it's doing, it's hurting the 150,000 Kansans who fall into this health care gap, where they earn too much to qualify for CanCare, but too little to be eligible to get financial assistance for insurance. That's a lot of people. That's 150,000. If you take 105 counties and divide it out equally, that's well over 1,000 of our neighbors who are not able to have insurance. They're hardworking men and women in Kansas, and they deserve the opportunity and our support in obtaining proper medical care and good medical care for them. As you mentioned in the question, one-third of our rural hospitals in Kansas are in jeopardy and are considered financially vulnerable. We can't afford in rural areas to have more hospitals close. And the tab, if you will, for the state of Kansas, the amount of funds that are lost to the state of Kansas in the last several years is well over $1.2 billion with a B dollars. That money would have flowed into Kansas to help us expand our Medicaid. And I agree with Mr. Peck. You know, we all need to be concerned about the federal debt, but I am really concerned about these 150,000 Kansans that are falling through the crack. Expanding Medicare or CanCare, make sure this is right, CanCare, not Medicare, would improve the health and financial security of those 150,000 Kansans. It would help create more jobs. The estimates are around 3,800 new jobs in the state of Kansas. That's part of our economy. And I think it's time to recognize the fact that we have an opportunity here to help the economy, but most of all, to help people get health care with the Medicaid program. Thank you.
And if you're following along at home, it may be time to get the calculator out. Some have called it the great experiment. Governor Sam Brownback, along with the legislature, enacted changes to the state's tax policies. Do you think that is working, and should that continue? Mr. Goddard? You're first.
Well, as I said in my opening comments, the wheels are coming off the stagecoach. We cannot continue to operate as a state with the budget situation that we're in. That budget situation, in my mind, is directly related to the tax policy in the state of Kansas. It is lopsided. It's not balanced when some pay no tax on what they earn, and others, particularly lower-income individuals and families, are hurt the most by the recent increases in sales tax. The most increase in funds that go to the state of Kansas from taxation have been in the area of sales tax and tobacco tax. I don't have a problem with the tobacco tax, but I do have a problem when someone goes to the grocery store that is on the lower end of the income scale, buys $100 worth of groceries and winds up paying $10 more, or buys a car, a used car, a $10,000 car, and winds up with about a $1,000 bill for sales tax. That is hurting our economy. Over 300,000 people, individuals who take advantage of the LLC rule, pay no taxes. I've talked to a lot of those people. Some of you may be in that group. The majority of people I've talked to said they would be willing to pay the tax if it's going to help solve the budget problem. And I agree with Mr. Peck that, yes, the part of the solution is reviewing our spending. But part of the solution is also to implement a fair tax policy. Taxes need to be spread over three areas: income tax, sales tax, and property tax. And right now, it's not fair and equitable. We have a situation where the budget is being balanced by raking funds back from transportation, from the correctional facilities, reducing Medicaid reimbursement, not paying into the retirement fund, and those things are exactly opposite of what they should be. The budget is designed to fund all the programs and agencies of the state. The money flows from the budget to fund those things. And we're in a situation now where we've tipped the table the other way, and funds are flowing from those programs and agencies to balance the budget. And on top of that, for next year's budget, the state assigned a promissory note for $900 million. And believe me, if the budget is balanced on June 30th, and we're even or a little better off, people are going to forget that we borrowed $900 million to balance the budget.
Representative Peck, do you feel the governor's tax policy has been effective, and should it continue?
When we talk about tax policy in the state of Kansas, it's important for everyone to understand the tax plan that Governor Brownback proposed is not the tax plan that passed. Now, having said that, he has become rigid and inflexible in adjusting the tax plan that passed. The governor's tax plan was based on revenue. As revenue went up, taxes went down. That's not the plan that passed. The plan that passed was automatic cuts in taxes, which I personally like. I think it's a great thing that we have left more money in the pockets of Kansas taxpayers to the tune of $500 million a year. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that $500 million is not the business tax. That is the personal income tax. 71% of the tax cuts that we passed in 2012 went to individuals. 29% went to small businesses. Now, the plan that we passed has a provision in it that I have supported fixing or changing, sometimes called a tax loophole, and that is on the income that proprietors, business owners take out of their LLC should be taxed the same as the rest of us pay taxes on our income. You will hear many times the fact that the experiment, the tax cuts, aren't working. I just told you at my opening statement, revenue is up $60 million in the most recent fiscal year compared to the previous fiscal year. The problem we have, again, is spending. When you reduce revenue, you've got to be willing to reduce spending. And I have been someone in the Capitol who is known as fighting constantly to reduce spending, starting with the legislature. There are several things we could do to reduce the legislature's budget. I might also remind you that a part of the tax legislation that I have supported totally eliminated the income tax on 388,000 of the lowest income Kansans. My opponent has said that he, quote, favors repealing the tax cuts passed by the legislature. Ladies and gentlemen, that would be a $500 million tax increase and would cause our low-income citizens, whom he claims to care about, to have to start paying taxes to the tune of $19.5 million a year that they currently aren't paying taxes for. I'm one who would much rather look for efficiencies in state government than raise taxes. Cutting taxes is good for Kansas, good for Kansas citizens.
This is special coverage of the mighty 690 KGGF Decision 2016, the Senate District 15 Republican primary. Along with Deborah Woodall, I'm Charlie Tungavaletti. We'll take a brief time out and continue after this. You're listening to special coverage of Decision 2016, the Republican primary debate between Representative Virgil Peck of Havana and Dan Goddard of Parsons on the Mighty 690 KGGF Coffeeville. We're pleased you could join us. The staff and management of KGGF Radio wants to express their appreciation to Monty Kaufman and Windsor Place for allowing for the use of the Windsor Event Center for this occasion. We also appreciate the support of our sponsors who are making this hour-long broadcast possible. Acme Foundry, Coffeeville Regional Medical Center, Community National Bank, Four State Maintenance Supply, Muller Construction, and Taylor Crane and Rigging. This year's primary is Tuesday, August 2nd. Your vote will help decide which of the candidates will advance to the November general election. It is the people that you and your fellow Kansans elect that will decide issues such as school funding, enact laws that are firm enough to protect you, but not so tight they limit your freedom. Raise the tax dollars to accomplish the essential duties of government without collecting 1 cent more than the state should to do the job. That's how important the decisions you make next month at the ballot box will be. Every vote is important. If you're eligible to vote in the primary, please cast your ballot and ask others to do the same. If you're not already registered, the last day to register for the November general election is October 18th. Set a reminder and register at your earliest opportunity. Then stay tuned to the Mighty 690 KGGF Coffeeville. This is a presentation of KGGF News.
As our Senate District 15 Republican primary debate continues on KGGF, we head into the home stretch. We've touched on tax policy. Now let's expand the focus to the budget overall. Budget cuts have affected higher education, the Department of Transportation, delayed payments to the state's retirement system, and the list goes on. Representative Peck, how does government adequately fund necessary services, and how can the budget process be improved? You have 3 minutes.
Thank you, Deborah. That's probably going to be one of the best questions that we have the opportunity to address tonight, because that is one of the biggest things, and that is the only thing that the legislature is required to do each and every year when we gather for the session. I've had the privilege of serving on House Appropriations Committee for 5 years. Many of my legislative colleagues didn't like having me there, but I can assure you Kansas taxpayers did like having me there, because I was always working for reduced government spending. I served 4 years as the chairman for the Transportation and Public Safety Budget Committee. So I understand the transportation budget and our public safety, which of course is our correctional institutions, our law enforcement, KBI, etc. So I know that there are efficiencies that can be found in certain areas, and I have a very good working knowledge of the rest of the budget. I started to mention before the break, when we were talking about the tax cuts, that revenue should be adjusted downward, particularly since we knew that, or spending should be adjusted downward, particularly since we knew revenue was going to be downward. Let's start with the legislature's budget. I was taken off of House Appropriations probably because I was so vocal in trying to cut the legislature's budget. We should not be paying dues to organizations such as the National Conference of State Legislatures, to ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, NCOIL, the National Conference of Insurance Legislators, and many others I won't name because of time. We could save $400,000 right there for the legislature. We should reduce our postage and our printing allotment. I'm saying by half. That would save $250,000. Now, I realize that these numbers will not balance the budget entirely, but we should start at home. I don't think it's right, I don't think it's fair, that legislative leadership budgets are allowed to accumulate and to accrue with time. In an election year, as there have been recent reports, that allows Democrats and Republicans to hire extra staff to go out and campaign for them. We should stop subsidizing university athletics to the tune of $5 billion. If athletic programs cannot stand on their own, do we need them? PBS, public broadcasting. Why are we spending $500,000 for public broadcasting when we've got great outlets such as KGGF and other stations? Our juvenile correctional education system is costing us $10,000 per student. Ladies and gentlemen, these inmates, these juveniles are in there being paid by the state for their housing, their food, their utilities, no transportation costs. We could reduce that and save $1.5 million. What about selling state surplus property? We don't even have an accounting of how much state property we have. And my list, Deborah, is too long for me to continue because it's time to stop.
Mr. Goddard, what are your thoughts on the state budget and how the funds are allocated?
Well, first of all, I think one of the biggest problems we have are faulty projections for revenue. Month after month after month, revenue has not come up to the projections. Now, if a budget is based on projecting how much money is going to come into the state, that's a faulty way about doing business. We either have to change that or get our projections more accurate. I agree in many cases. There are places to cut funds, cut spending. You know, the items that my opponent has mentioned are small items, but, yeah, I'd go along with that. I think we agree on a lot of things. But I certainly wouldn't go along with his suggestion from 2013 that legislators' pay be raised by $10,000. He introduced a bill in 2013 to raise the lawmakers' pay, and that was substantial. It didn't gain any substantial support and didn't go anywhere. Redundancy is another problem. I mentioned before that local school property tax dollars go up to the state and turn around and send it back. What kind of administrative support and activity is involved in that? Do we really need it? Do we need a separate address for people to send in their taxes if they are going to get a refund or a rebate on food sales tax? No, we don't. No, that should be automated. There shouldn't, and we need to look at automation. Now, I know we're talking about the lives of people here, but, you know, we can't afford to have departments that may have too many employees, that we may not have taken advantage of technology to streamline operations. But there's one thing that I'm really, really firm about, and that is our education system. Now, there's been a lot of talk here tonight about how much funding the state does for education. But again, these young people from K-12 through college through tech school are the future of our state. And we absolutely must do everything we can to get a proper education so that they can become good citizens in Kansas. I think if we keep the cost of college down, we'll continue to have good people from Kansas go to college in Kansas and possibly instead of going to other states.
Candidates, we thank you very much for being with us this evening and appreciate you feeling that our debate was worthy of your time. We've dealt with many issues, and it's now your turn to focus on what you want the voters to know. Mr. Goddard, you have 4 minutes for your closing remarks.
I'd like to go back to my opening comments. I'm running for the Kansas Senate because I believe that I can work with other people. As you've seen here tonight, I think we have agreement on certain issues, and I'd be willing to work with anyone where we have agreement on issues that are good for the people of Kansas. My promise to the residents of this Senate district is that when I take a vote or make a vote, if I'm elected, my sole consideration is what I'm voting for or against, good or bad, for the people of Kansas, in particular the people of Southeast Kansas. I think that too many times we get wound up in political ideology and special interests, and I think we really need to return to the common sense government of working for the people that we represent. I'd like to make a couple comments about education. I grew up in a family of teachers. My grandmother, my mother, my brother, my two sisters, and my oldest daughter are or were teachers. I taught for years in the Air Force as an instructor pilot. I was an adjunct faculty member of Purdue University after I retired from the Air Force. I was a substitute high school teacher. And finally, I was on the board of advisors for Indiana University of Kokomo for 5 years. So I know about education and the values that it can instill in our young people. And we haven't talked about people who have lost their jobs and retraining. The state of Kansas needs to do all it can to get people spun up to new jobs. And we mentioned veterans earlier. I think that there is so much more that can be done in educating our veterans as they return to civilian life. We have veterans that have fought from World War II all the way up to the present for this great country. In particular, disabled veterans should have the opportunity for training. Their children, the children of disabled veterans, should have the opportunity for support. I think that in education, the idea that is propagated by the School of Veterinary Medicine, where if a student goes through and becomes a veterinarian and serves an underserved area, that's a great thing. And they get a big benefit in the cost of their tuition and repayment of it. The same thing could be done for teachers, for medical professionals, and those kinds of people that would be great assets to our communities. The issue of health care is going to be one of those that's really a continuing issue. I think we need to have a good, honest discussion and debate about CanCare and Medicaid. Finally, I'm not a career politician. I'm in this so that I can represent you, the people of Southeast Kansas. I will be a 24-hour-a-day, 365-day-a-year legislator, and in leap years, 366. Okay? I will spend as much time as I can in our local communities. It will not just be for parades and those kinds of things. I want to sit down and have substantive discussions with the people of this district. I want your ideas. I want to hear what you think and what you believe in. And I would carry those ideas and thoughts to Topeka to serve you in the future. Thank you.
And Representative Peck, you have 4 minutes to make your case for election to the Kansas Senate.
Thank you, Deborah. And again, thank you to KGGF and our sponsors for making this forum possible this evening. For those of you who invested the time to come out this evening, and those of you who are listening to the radio or who may be listening online in the future, I'm going to back up for just one moment briefly because my opponent failed to tell you about the legislative pay increase that I sponsored. Yes, it would have been a pay increase for legislators. We currently earn about $15,000. It would have put us at $25,000, which is still substantially under Oklahoma at $38,000 and Missouri at about $35,000. What he did not tell you was the other side of the bill. The rest of the bill, the most important part of the bill, was to eliminate the sweet deal that legislators currently have as it pertains to retirement. I do not believe that legislative retirement should be what it is, and I am not participating in legislative retirement in that sweet deal. I think you should pay legislators better while they're there and then not give them such a sweet deal when they retire. That legislation I passed, or I sponsored in 2013, would not even take effect until January of 2017. So whoever wins this election had that passed would be in that boat. I will join other legislators in standing up against the Barack Hussein Obama misguided agenda and directive to allow men into ladies' and girls' locker rooms and restrooms. That's wrong. We should, as a state, stand up against that directive. I also will work with other legislators to end the practice of using your tax dollars to subsidize the college tuition of illegal immigrants. Ladies and gentlemen, illegal immigration in the state of Kansas is costing us right at $200 million a year. If we could eliminate that problem or even reduce it, it would be additional funds that we could use for other services. I'm the only Republican in this race who will oppose higher taxes. I'm the only Republican in this race who will stand up against the Obamacare agenda of expanding Medicaid and costing Kansas taxpayers $100 million and growing every year of additional cost. I oppose special favors for homosexuals. I do not believe we should make them a protected class, as my opponent does. And I will work to end taxpayer benefits for illegal immigrants. My opponent said that we need to change direction. Well, the direction we have been going is lower taxes and a little bit smaller government. I believe it should be a lot smaller government. So I guess changing direction from lower taxes and smaller government would be for higher taxes and bigger government. Generally, the people who disagree with me on these issues are called Democrats. But apparently, not all who disagree with me are Democrats. I am supported in this race, again, by several conservative groups. The Montgomery County Farm Bureau understands that Virgil Peck understands agriculture and stands up against an overreaching federal government and regulations, so they have endorsed me in this race. Again, the National Rifle Association and the Kansas State Rifle Association have endorsed me as the best candidate to protect our Second Amendment rights. And the best endorsement that I could have is Kansans for Life. They know that I will stand against the evils of abortion. I have sponsored many pieces of legislation that have become law to protect our unborn children, our most vulnerable citizens, and I will continue to fight in that arena. I will continue to fight for a smaller, less intrusive government with lower taxes for everyone. And I would certainly appreciate your vote for the state Senate on August the 2nd.
Thank you, gentlemen. We're going to take a one-minute break, and we'll wrap things up. This is special coverage from KGGF News.
You're listening to special coverage of Decision 2016, the Republican primary debate between Representative Virgil Peck of Havana and Dan Goddard of Parsons on the Mighty 690 KGGF Coffeeville. We're pleased you could join us. The staff and management of KGGF Radio wants to express their appreciation to Monty Kaufman and Windsor Place for allowing for the use of the Windsor Event Center for this occasion. We also appreciate the support of our sponsors who are making this hour-long broadcast possible. Acme Foundry, Coffeyville Regional Medical Center, Community National Bank, Four State Maintenance Supply, Mueller Construction, and Taylor Crane and Rigging. This year's primary is Tuesday, August 2nd. Your vote will help decide which of the candidates will advance to the November general election. It is the people that you and your fellow Kansans elect that will decide issues such as school funding, enact laws that are firm enough to protect you, but not so tight they limit your freedom. Raise the tax dollars to accomplish the essential duties of government without collecting 1 cent more than the state should to do the job. That's how important the decisions you make next month at the ballot box will be. Every vote is important. If you're eligible to vote in the primary, please cast your ballot and ask others to do the same. If you're not already registered, the last day to register for the November general election is October 18th. Set a reminder and register at your earliest opportunity. Then stay tuned to the Mighty 690 KGGF Coffeeville. This is a presentation of KGGF News.